Good morning. We are discussing the topic of holiness, and so I want y'all to begin with me in Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11. Last week we saw that sanctification could be understood by different dichotomies. You remember how they were pairs of things that you could understand. Some of those dichotomies, thank you, I appreciate that, Stephen. Some of those different dichotomies were like saved and lost, believer and unbeliever. By the way, that one's far more important than probably any other of the different dichotomies. Heaven and hell, clean and unclean. And to explore this issue further, we're going to start looking at the topic of clean and unclean. One mention I want to make, though, is a number of ways that God represents holiness to us. And we talked about the tabernacle. Last week we talked about how we're body, soul, and spirit, how that God is sanctifying us, okay, or we're sanctified. If we've trusted Christ as our Savior, we're set apart as His. We're sanctified. We've gone from being lost to being saved. We've gone from being unbelievers to being believers. And so we are, if you will, sanctified, if you will, in our soul. And then we are being, sanctified in our spirit, And we are being sanctified in our soul as we're slowly being conformed to the image of Christ, as God works on us, in us, and through us. And one day we're going to be totally sanctified when we get that new body, amen? We're not going to have that struggle like the Apostle Paul describes in Romans chapter 7. And so there's different pictures, and we'll explore many of them. It's, the more I study this, the more pictures you see of God trying to communicate what holiness is. Anybody know what Leviticus means, or where we get the name Leviticus from? It's not a trick question. It's the tribe of Levi, and it's ultimately the priesthood of Aaron. Okay, and so Leviticus, if you will, is how that. Remember how God said that the nation of Levi would not get an inheritance in the land. Why? Because they belonged unto God. There's a sanctification principle there, okay? These are my people, okay? And he used them for signs and for ways for us to understand that holiness, okay? They had to dress a certain way and they had to behave a certain way. There were some things they could touch and some things they could not touch. There's some things they could do, some things they could not do. And if you will, they were a living picture of what it means to be sanctified, okay? And one of the things they had to do was determine what was clean and unclean. Now, God tells us what that is, okay? But just so you understand that a little bit better, go to Leviticus chapter 11, like I said. Look at verse 44. And if we'll, you see, that's a long chapter, just so you. And it would be good for you to go back and read that chapter for yourself, because in this chapter, he does define what holy, clean and unclean is, okay? But in verse 44, he describes the purpose for it. He says, "For I am the Lord your God, you shall therefore sanctify yourselves," okay? Meaning, here in a minute, he's going to say, "Be ye holy as I am holy," okay? Sanctified and holiness, you need to get those two words, and they should mean the same thing to you. To be sanctified is to be holy, okay? And to be holy is to be sanctified. And so he's saying here, he says, "For I, the Lord your God, you shall sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourself with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." And he describes what those creeping things are, the unclean animals, if you will, earlier in the chapter. He says, "For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." Now, one of the things you got to realize as Christians, quite often we use vocabulary that we understand, but the lost world doesn't understand at all. And I will promise you this, that when it comes to this holiness here, there's some times that we use these words and we don't know what they mean either. That's one of the reasons we've been looking at the word holy here so long, is because it's a very prominent, very important word in the scriptures here. And sometimes we use it and really don't know what it means, okay? The Bible says in verse 46, it says, "This is the law of the beasts and of the fowl, and of every living creature that moveth in the waters, and every creature that creepeth upon the earth." He's talking about animals that are for food and not for food, okay? That's what he's talking about. And in verse 47, "to make a difference between the unclean and the clean." He says, I've given you these things so you can understand some animals are clean and some are unclean, okay? And I'm wanting you to see these distinctions, okay? And I'll make the distinction here in a moment. But he says, I'm trying to teach you to tell the difference between clean and unclean, okay? He says, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. Father, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to open your word this morning. Father, we do raise all these requests. And Father, we remember the unspoken. Father, we pray for those who are sick. Father, we pray for those who are grieving and some of the tragedies that we've heard about this week. Father, we pray, Lord, that all things we know work together for good. Father, help us to understand your hand, how you're working in hearts and lives. And Father, we do pray for our nation. We pray for Christians around the world, especially in the Middle East. And Father, help us to appreciate the relative comfort that we're in. But Father, we pray that you would be very precious and very real to them in their very real struggles. Father, meet with us today. Help us to know clean and unclean. And help us, therefore, to become more holy, more sanctified in your sight. Father, we love you. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk about holiness in the Old Testament here. Okay? I want to talk about holiness in the Old Testament. Now, last week we looked at holiness in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and so that's obviously the New Testament. And so this week we're looking here in the book of Leviticus. Now, it's interesting to me, a couple things I want you to notice, and we're going to kind of learn by observation here this morning, okay? What does it mean to be holy, and how can we understand what it is, all right? So if you will, I want you to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 7, okay? Genesis chapter 7. And this is the first time the principle of clean and unclean is given to us in the Bible. Okay? Clean and unclean. Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, the Bible says, the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house unto the ark, for thee have I chosen righteous before me in this generation. By the way, that's an act of sanctification right there. Come out from the world, be ye separate. Okay? By the way, I believe the ark is a picture of Christ. There's everybody who's out of Christ, and there's everybody who's in Christ. You see, there's another way of sanctifying or determining what is holy. In verse 2, it says, Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of the fowls also they are by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of the earth. And then verse 7, the Bible says, and Noah went in, and his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood. And so he says, bring in the clean and the unclean. In chapter 6 of Genesis, verses 19 through 21, he talks about bringing in the unclean by twos. Now, I don't know about you, I don't think personally, it's just a note here, I don't think Noah went out and collected all these animals. I kind of think God brought them to him. And he took them in two by two, male and a female chicken, okay, male and a female duck, okay, all right, y'all understand that? And so they brought them in, male and their females by twos. But notice he brought the clean beasts and the fowls. That's something we forget sometimes. The Bible says he brought in the clean beasts and the fowls by sevens, okay? We saw that in verses 2 and 3. We just read that here. He says, you bring the clean one in by sevens. Clean beasts and the fowls, possibly for sacrifice. Go to chapter 8, look at verse 20. The Bible tells us this, that as soon as they got off of the ark, that he took and he gave a sacrifice. And the Bible says in Noah, verse 20, it says, and Noah built an ark unto the Lord and took of, what's that next word there? Every clean beast and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And you think about that, they started with seven and they sacrificed one. But the thing that's interesting about that, he still had pairs. He still had the male and his female, male and his female, okay? That's significant. In studying for this, I kind of want to go back and I'll study a little bit more about Noah and his ark. But the whole point is this, why? Well, possibly because for the sacrifice, okay? There was seven, now there's six, okay? But what was six instead of two are clean animals. These are animals that can be eaten, okay? By the way, meat is now a necessary part of the diet. I'm going to say that again. How many of y'all realized that meat at that point was a necessary part of the diet? Why? There are no plants. Okay, absolutely. And so God, in his anticipation, God, in his foreknowledge, says, you better take some extra animals to eat. Why? Because you're not going to have any food when you get off this ark. The only thing you're going to have is what you take with you. Okay, what's it? By the way, the only thing you're going to have in heaven is what you send to heaven, not what you take to heaven. Amen. The whole point is this, is God is saying this. He's saying, he said, those clean animals, they're going to keep you alive. They're going to save your life. Okay. Now, notice also birds. The Bible says that the birds also went in by seven. So they sacrificed one and then they had the birds. Anybody know what birds do? They spread seed. I don't know how many of y'all know this. Now, see, some of y'all laugh at me when I read that book about seeds, but here's the payoff. Amen. Okay? But do you realize that some seeds cannot germinate until they've gone through the digestive system of a bird? And so, literally, God is saying this. Not only are the birds going to be used to maybe help pollinate, not only are they going to be used to help scatter the seed, they're also going to be used to help germinate the seed, okay? Notice what it says in verse 3. It says to keep life on the earth. Listen, does God know the end from the beginning? God said, you better take some birds with you. Why? Because they're going to be necessary for scattering the seeds and pollinating and keeping those things alive and germinating those seeds. Amen. You're going to need them for life. Okay. And by the way, you're going to need them. I want you to live. Y'all understand that? By the way, think about this. That left, it says you've got to have the unclean, you got to have the clean. There's one other thing that got taken. Anybody know? Just think real quick. I'm trying to get you to think. It's kind of important to us. No, that's a good, as far as I don't know. I'm not trying to be clever here, folks, but Noah's sons and their wives. How many of y'all think that was important? Okay, I'll give you this. Think about this. Remember how it was seven of the clean and one of them was sacrificed? My whole point is this, folks. Noah never had any more kids. He never had any more children. At least according to Scripture, he did not. And by the way, if he did, it would create some problems genealogically. Okay, so he didn't have any more kids. All the kids were from Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their wives. I think it's interesting that there were three pairs of clean animals that remained, and there were three pairs of clean human beings led to or given to repopulate the earth. Okay, you all see that? Now, it should be further noted, if you will, that all species survived the flood because of God's anticipation and preparation. But again, man was the focus of it all. Why did they take the clean animals? To eat them, folks. They took the clean animals to eat them. Y'all with me? Okay. Whole point is this. Man is the focus of the creation, okay? Now, I got a question here that kind of ought to bug you for a second. Did God ever one time define what was clean or unclean, at least in Scripture? To Noah. Interesting. Because clean and unclean wasn't defined until the giving of the law on Moses. And so if I do my math right, and to be honest with you, it was kind of hard to do. If I do my math right, clean and unclean wasn't defined for 850 years after that. My whole point is this. How did he know what was clean and unclean? Can I just say this, that perhaps there was a principle even from the foundation of the world? You remember remember the first job that Adam did? He named all the animals. Now, to name an animal, what do you think you got to do? You got to know what an animal is. You got to know their characteristics, okay, and things like that. They didn't eat animals back then, okay? But somehow God had communicated to them, not to us, not through Scripture. We're not given that until the law and Moses and Leviticus, really. And so the whole point is this, is the principle of clean and unclean, if you will, the dichotomy, sanctified and unsanctified, saved and unsaved, my people, the devil's people. You all understand that? Was a principle from the very beginning. Okay? Sometimes people are very concerned about Christians and having an us-them mentality. Can I just tell you this? Every other group in the world has the same thing. There's an us-them mentality, and God is the one that ought to define what is us and them. Do you see how important that is? See, we'll divide over skin color. No, God says that's not what makes you clean or unclean. Amen? And so I could give more examples, but the whole point is this. God is the one that instilled the principle of clean and unclean, even from the beginning. One of the things that I like to meditate on is I can't wait, if God wants us to, I can't wait to know what Noah knew that is not communicated to us in the Bible. When the Bible talks about as in the days of Noah, we have to imagine how bad it was. The thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Okay, well, what's that mean? Can I just say this? We're starting to get an idea. Okay, so the whole point is this, is when it comes to clean and unclean, God told Noah to make a distinction, though we're not told how he knew that distinction, okay? If you will, I believe it was is an innately known type thing from the beginning. The second person we want to look at is Abraham. This is just kind of interesting. Go to Genesis chapter 18, look at verse 6. Genesis chapter 18, verse 6. Look at verse 8. This is where the God and the two angels, the Lord and two angels, okay, come and visit Abraham. They're getting ready to tell him about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And because of that, he says, stay here, I want to fix you a meal, okay? Now, put your antennas up, okay? And tell me if there's something wrong with this story. Look at verse 6. The Bible says, and Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready, quick, 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man. And he hastened to dress it, and he took butter and milk and the calf, which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Who's they? I'm not trying to be profound here. Who's the they? Okay, so the angel and then God himself. I believe it's a pre-incarnate Christ, a theophany or a Christophany. Did I confuse anybody on that? Everybody understand that? Okay. Who ate it? They did. Let's try one more time. I'm not trying to be ugly here. I'm trying to get a point. Who ate it? They did. If it was an unclean meal, do you think God would eat it? Can I ask you a question? Is there anything wrong with that meal? And I want you to think like a Jew. Yes, sir? Say it again. Well, I'm not talking about that. It's a clean animal. It was a calf. It was a cow. Okay? Anybody know anything about Israel? Jews? There's something very wrong with this meal. He served meat and milk. Folks, you all realize that Jews don't eat cheeseburgers? Anybody know why? Did any of y'all know that they didn't eat cheeseburgers? Well, there you go. Okay. Absolutely, and I got 3 verses for that. So it was important to God. He put it in the Bible 3 times. Don't eat a kid seethed in his mother's milk. Let's ask a question here. Now look at this meal here. Is that a kid seethed in his mother's milk? I really am trying to make a point here, and I'm not going to embarrass anybody. Is that a kid seethed in his mother's milk? Now, please forgive me, but most of you are going like this. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. Seed means cooked in. I'm going to go to our agricultural expert here, Richard. You're sitting there, so you're our agriculture. Is there a difference between a kid and a calf? So the answer is yes. Everybody thinks I'm trying to set you up for something. I'm not. Everybody's looking at me like, I don't want to answer this. Is there a difference between a kid and a calf? Does it say that that calf was cooked in its mother's milk? No, it does not. What is my point? Folks, we got to be very careful what we call holy and what we call unholy. Did God ever one time say it's not right for you to eat a cheeseburger? And you say, well, we didn't have cheeseburgers back then. Okay. How many of y'all love to make that delicious, juicy beef patty by boiling it in milk? Anybody here? So y'all go. Are y'all with me? Folks, do you get that? Listen, you couldn't eat a hamburger and gravy. All right? Why? Because you can't mix milk and meat. Did God say don't mix milk and meat? He did not. He said, do not seethe or cook a baby goat in its mother's milk. Why? It was pagan. So from what I understand, is supposedly if you cooked a kid in its mother's milk and ate it, then it imparted some type of magical type of thing for you. Can I just tell you this? The Bible says you eat things, it's processed in your belly, and you purge it from your body. That's not what matters. I tell you what matters is what's in your heart. Is that what the Bible says? Okay, my whole point is this, is folks, I use this illustration all the time just because it happened to me. But I remember one day, we had just taken the Lord's Supper at Berean when I was there in Springfield. And when we got done with the Lord's Supper, our pastor expected us to get in our cars and go home. Okay? And so if you stood around, if he came out later and saw you talking, he'd boot you out of there. Okay? And anyhow, I was standing around after the Lord's Supper. And there was a group of kids standing around a pile of cigarette butts, and they were all going, that's sin! That's sin! I mean, just having a fit. And I walked up, and I said, kids, that's trash. Let's pick it up and throw it away. And so I picked it up and threw it away. Folks, sometimes what we consider sanctified is the imagination of our heart. And we only, what does God say when it comes to his scripture? Does he say we should add to it? It seems like a bad idea because really the first sin was a result of adding to the word of God, was it not? Thou shalt not eat of it, neither shalt thou touch it. God didn't say that. God said don't eat from it. Y'all with me on that? And my whole point about this is pretty soon you can't put rounded corners on your hair. You can't cut your beard. It has to grow like this. You're not allowed to trim it. Folks, all that stuff is nonsense. Why? Well, there were some people that worshiped their God by cutting their beard flat. And God says, don't do that. But it's nothing wrong with shaving your beard. Y'all with me? My whole point is every bad theology is usually an overreaction to another bad theology. Y'all understand that? And so when it comes to holiness, when we come to our definitions, let's make sure that they're God's definitions and not man's definitions, okay? It ought not be Baptists consider this a sin. Amen? Now, I'm going to get myself in trouble. Should Baptists dance? Huh? David did. He wasn't a Baptist. He was a Jew. I think so. No, I'm not trying to get myself in trouble, and I'm not trying to offend anybody's sensibilities. But I'm going to let you in a little secret. Every once in a while, I'll grab my wife and I'll twirl her around a little bit. I just like to see her get dizzy, to be honest with you. I'm not trying to be clever here. I'm not going to grab your wife and do it. Now he says something. And you probably ought to be very careful where you do it. Most dancing today happens in a honky-tonk or a bar. I don't think you ought to be there for any number of reasons, regardless of dancing. Did David dance? Do the study. This is literally what it means. No, don't watch, honey. He's going. That's what he's doing. That's what it means. Amen? He wasn't grabbing ladies out and, you know. I crossed the line there, didn't I? Please take this the right way. Every once in a while, I like to grab my wife and go like this when you're not looking. Well, that's ungodly. That's sinful. No, it's not. No, it's not. Don't add to the Word of God. And don't take away from it. If God says, don't eat a kid boiled in its mother's milk, here's what I think you ought to do. Don't eat goats cooked in their mother's milk. But that doesn't mean you can't have a cheeseburger. Folks, the reason that holiness becomes such a point of conflict between people is because you say you can do this and they say you can't. And then we fight over the definition of things. And God didn't say any of those things. And the temptation then is to take away from the Word of God. Well, that doesn't really apply anymore. I'm going to let you in a little secret. Clean and unclean still applies. We're just not bound by it anymore. It's served its purpose. Okay? The whole point is this, is when you look at that meal there, the Bible says God ate it. Please take this the right way and tell this to your Jewish friends. God didn't say you can't have a cheeseburger. Okay? Oh, it's sinful. No, it's not. Y'all understand the point? Folks, when it comes to holiness, let's make sure that we're using God's definitions for holiness. Okay? Third thing that we see here, let's talk about Moses here. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 11. And I told you that he gave this definition here in chapter 11 of what is clean and unclean. I want you to see if there's a significance to the words here. Would you look at verse 4, okay? The Bible says this, says, nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof, as the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof. Now, say the next part with me. He is unclean unto you. I'm going to have you say that again. He is unclean unto you. Notice the last line of the next four verses. Unclean unto you, unclean unto you, unclean unto you. I said it one too many times, but folks, he's making a point here. He says, Moses is saying this, I'm trying to teach you. Remember, he said the whole purpose for doing this is to teach you the difference between clean and unclean. Was it a sin for a Gentile to eat a pig? Because in that list right there, it says don't eat a pig. Okay? Was it a sin for a Gentile to eat a pig? No. Well, it's a sin to eat pigs. No, it's not. Get a hold of that. No, it's not. When I was a young preacher, we had a man who had a radical son, and he'd only visit every once in a while. And he visited one time, and I was recounting how I had just preached a revival in Arkansas, and they fed me squirrel. How many of y'all have eaten squirrel? You are what you eat. Anyhow, I had to. I told him, I said, I ate squirrel. And this guy literally went like this. That's unclean. That's unclean. And he was very disturbed. He was disturbed before I told him that. Okay. Is there anything wrong with a Gentile eating a squirrel? is there anything wrong with you eating a squirrel? What's that? now you got me distracted. Is there anything wrong with us eating a squirrel? No. Why not? Still an unclean animal. Still an unclean animal. So did any of y'all bring pork to our fellowship today? Sinner. Is there anything wrong with eating pork? No. Health issues, if you want to talk about that. And all, you know. Are y'all with me? The whole point is this, is he says, it is unclean for you. Got it? Notice what he says in verse 9. Go to verse 10. And he talks about some other things that can be eaten. And at the end of that verse, he says, it is, do you guys see the word I'm looking for? The abomination. You know what abomination is? An abomination, and I'll take you to it here, but it's any kind of sexual sin, like homosexuality. That's an abomination to God. I'm going to say that again because it didn't get near enough amens. That's an abomination to God. Okay, I guess I have to say it again. It's an abomination to God. And by the way, that hadn't changed. It's still an abomination to God. Okay? It's the same thing as falling down to idols. Is God jealous of idols? The Lord your God is one God. Thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven images. The first two deal with idols. Does God hate idolatry? It's an abomination to him. It's worthy of punishment. It's worthy of judgment. Don't do it. Y'all with me? Can you look at that list? He's talking about food. Okay? He's talking about different animals and things that we can eat. You understand that? But he says it's an abomination. Notice the next two words. Look at it. For you. Y'all see that? Can I just tell you that there are some things in this world when it comes to holiness that it's okay for others to do, but it's not okay for us to do. Okay? He said, well, it's New Testament. None of this applies anymore. Okay, eat your pork. Eat your squirrel. Y'all with me? But can I just say the principle still abides? There are some things that are unclean for us. It's getting harder and harder to watch the news. Anybody know why? It's not because of the news. It's because of the commercials between the different breaks. Have you seen the abominations that are before our face every day now? I mean, literally in our face, trying to say this is a normal and healthy lifestyle. No, it is not. It's destroying our nation, destroying children. We talk about human trafficking. We're all upset about COVID shots, but you don't hear nothing about the human trafficking that's going on. And it'll scare you to death here. You know, I thought about wanting to have Abigail fly to Alaska. And then I read a thing about a 16-year-old girl nearly being kidnapped in an airport. I'm just like, it's an abomination. And there's some things that we can and cannot do. Y'all understand that? Why? Just because we're his people. Why don't you do some things? Well, I want to avoid the appearance. I'm going to consider my weaker brother. This might offend his conscience. Y'all with me? Is it okay for you to do? Absolutely, unless it causes offense. Some of y'all know this. I don't wear shorts. Okay? I barely wear them in my house. Okay? And this is not a message about shorts. Okay? I won't go swimming in a public swimming pool. Why? There's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. I understand that. But if somebody saw me creeping, that's the new term, at the swimming pool. And by the way, what are they going to think of a 58-year-old man at the swimming pool? Honestly. Okay? He said, well, why don't you do it to avoid the appearance of evil? I don't want anybody being, I don't want anybody even having the chance to be offended because of something I've done. Now, listen, I have other issues. We all have other issues. You understand that? But for me, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. Okay, why? To me, it's unclean. Okay? And can be an abomination. Okay? And don't tie that too hard to what I just said. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? Okay? And so he says, it is an abomination for you. It is unclean unto you. And I said the same word is used of idols and then of sexual perversity in Leviticus chapter 18. Nearly the whole chapter is tied to that. And he keeps talking about an abomination, abomination, abomination. And verse 18 is about men and men and women and women. Okay? Talks about it being an abomination. Having said that, has the definition of clean or unclean ever changed? That was the whole point with going back to Noah, folks. It was true to Noah even before it was written down. It was true to Moses because he did write it down. And it's true to us today. Should you eat pork? Now, I'm not trying to trick anybody here. Is pork supposed to be bad for you? Okay. So technically we shouldn't eat it. There you go. I'm not trying to be clever. What I'm trying to say is, I think if we follow God's health guidelines, we'd probably all be better off. Nobody wants to amen that because everybody wants to taste that pork at lunchtime. What's that? Bacon. There you go. Amen. Bacon's not pork. Bacon is bacon. No, I'm joking. You guys understand my point? Pig's still an unclean animal. Anybody here ever been to where they raise pigs? Disgusting. Disgusting. Okay? Still an unclean animal. All right? By the way, how many of y'all know that you shouldn't eat a rabbit you shoot around here right now? If you don't know that, you shouldn't. If you go hunting and shoot a rabbit, they're telling you right now, don't eat the rabbits around here. You know what? God knew that a long time ago. Y'all understand my point? It's still clean and unclean. Okay, now, do we have to observe those dietary laws? No. And do we have ways to make sure that those meats are safe and healthy? Absolutely we do. Okay. And so my whole point is this, is God's definitions haven't changed. It's just our response to those things have changed. And who did that? Well, would you go to Acts chapter 10 now then? Acts chapter 10. Because last of all, I want to talk about Jesus and Peter. Anybody know what's the biggest type of something that's unclean in the Old Testament is leprosy? Does anybody know what you were supposed to do if you had leprosy? You're supposed to cover your face and you're supposed to call out unclean. True? Okay. Is homosexuality unclean? Yes. Okay. So every time we see a homosexual, we should run past them and cry, unclean, unclean, unclean. Is that what we're supposed to do? Pardon me? Well, granted. It's kind of like those cigarette butts, though. Ooh, can't touch those. Why? They're sin. No, they're trash. Did I tell you to turn to a verse already? Yeah. Yeah, Acts chapter 10. Is it verse 16 there? And a blanket opens and all kinds of beasts come out. And God tells Peter, he says, arise, kill, and eat. He says, not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything common or unclean. Amen? You guys know the next verse, but can you all say it with me? What God has cleansed, call not thou unclean. The common. Is it common? Common. Common. And God said this, he says, if I've cleansed it, you can eat it. Y'all with me? What was the purpose of clean and unclean? It was to teach us the difference between right and wrong. It was to teach us the difference between having a relationship with God and not having a relationship with God. The whole purpose was to teach us the dichotomy. Which side are you on? Amen. Well, can I just tell you this? We all learned what side we were on when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary. We're on the bad side, and only He is on the good side. If any man be in Christ, in the ark, he's a new creation. He's a new creature. And the Bible talks about, and I'm out of time, so let me just give you the verse. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. The Bible says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Why? Because they're unclean. They're an abomination to God. Amen. I love these gracious words. How about you? Verse 11, "And such were some of you." Say it with me. "But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." And then he goes into context here. He says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient." You know, now that I'm cleansed, now that I'm clean, now that I'm sanctified, I don't have to obey those things anymore. Yeah, but be careful. It's not always expedient. You can eat all the pork you want, but should you? Y'all with me? Amen. I hope that that's helped to, if you will, help holiness to mean what holiness should mean, not what man has come to make it mean. And we'll explore this further. Going for it. We're dismissed.